Dear family, would you kindly take your Bibles or your copy of the scripture on your iPhone or iPad and turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. This is the third part. There will be four. This is the third part and building on the right foundation. And tonight we're going to look at wise builders. There's wise and foolish builders. We're going to look at the wise builder tonight. You know, when you look in the Gospels, you see that there were crowds of people, throngs of people that came around our Lord. They wanted to see Him. They wanted to hear Him. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be there in the first century and to see Jesus, to hear that He's going to be in your village or your town, and then you get to go hear Him and see Him? My goodness, that must have been awesome. These people were tired. They were hurt. They were hungry. They were broken. They were needing healing physically and spiritually. They were cast-offs from society. They were wanting to find God. But so many of them didn't know how. And the reason they didn't know how is because their religious leaders had put so many religious restrictions and weights upon them, they felt like they couldn't find their God, their God of the Old Testament. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 through 30 said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I'll give you rest." They didn't have rest. It wasn't so much physical rest they wanted spiritual rest. And they couldn't find it until Jesus. And then there were others who wanted to, as I have written down here, ride His coattails to bigger things. They envisioned that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government, and they wanted to be in on it. They wanted to have all of the freebies that Jesus would bring to the Israelites when the Romans were out of the way. An example of this was Judas. He never did believe in the Lord Jesus. He never did trust Him as his Savior. And so Judas was one of those who was looking for the good things that would come as part of being part of the disciple band when the Lord took up His kingdom in Jerusalem. And the Lord's message, what about it? Well, the Lord's message didn't meet the criteria that these people were looking for. They wanted dominion. They wanted prosperity. That's not what Jesus taught. He taught a lot about poverty and sorrow. He talked a lot about hardship. And when you look at the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7, their hot enthusiasm for what they thought was coming had cold water poured on it, and so they didn't want to follow Him anymore. They felt that being unshackled from the rule of Rome would make them free and rich. But Jesus didn't come to bring them the physical kingdom at that time. He came to bring them another kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that would be realized in their heart when they believed upon Him as their Messiah, as their Savior from sin. But they didn't want that. But many still congregated around Him, and they still wanted to hear. Well, what did they hear? Well, our first message, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, we talked about the two ways of life which people can choose from. The broad way, which led to destruction, or the narrow way and the narrow gate, which led to a right relationship with God. This came from humility, repentance of sin, and faith found only in Christ Jesus. Then in Matthew 7, 15 and 20, we learned that a bad tree cannot give out good fruit, and a good tree cannot give out bad fruit. And the Lord Jesus was speaking regarding false teachers, that just don't look at the outside. Look at what they're teaching. Look at their lives. How are they living? What is the example of their lives? Are they honoring my Father, or are they honoring themselves? And if the people were honest with themselves, they would have to say, what we see from these who are leading us is not in agreement with what we have originally been taught from our Word, the Old Testament Scriptures. And we read from the Lord Jesus Himself that those who pretended to be His servants, but who never believed in Him, who did not have the Holy Spirit in them, one day the Lord will say to them, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Well, now that brings us to tonight's scripture, verses 24 through 28. although tonight we're just going to look at verses 24 and 25, as we consider the two foundations, the foundation of rock or the foundation of sand. And so would you kindly look with me, please, Matthew chapter 7, and I will read verses 24 through 28, so we get both foundations, but we will just be looking at 24 and 25 tonight. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, and notice, and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with what? With a great crash. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray now that I wouldn't get in the way. I pray that by your Spirit, you would speak your word tonight, that it would draw us close to you, bring glory to your name, and that we would once again just let you know our lives are yours, and we want to continue to build our lives upon you, Lord Jesus, for there is no other way. And we give you praise in your name, dear Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, as the Lord concludes his message, is what is called the Sermon on the Mount, he stresses that merely listening to what he has to say is not enough. No, to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must by faith act upon what they have heard. They must act by faith on what they have heard. Listening to Jesus is awesome, but doing what he says is essential if we are to experience the new life, the spiritual life, which the Father has planned for us. The word building here speaks of faith in Christ, of desiring to live in fellowship with him, obeying his commands. Sometimes when people hear obeying his commands to the believer, they think we have to work our way to God. No, our faith in Christ is what brings us to him. Amen? There's no other way but faith in Christ. But Jesus says, if you love me, do what I say. He has given us things that we need to do, and we show our love for him as we follow what he has taught us. Well, as our Lord concludes the message, he presented two options open to his listeners, two ways. In other words, they were now responsible for what they heard. You and I realize, do we not? This was made very real to me some years ago. You and I are responsible for what we hear from God's word. Every one of us, whether we read it in private at home, whether we hear it on the radio or TV, or we hear it at church, we are responsible for responding to what we hear. And the Lord Jesus is telling the people of his day, you are now responsible for what I have shared with you. What are you going to do with it? In other words, they could build their lives on one of two foundations. The house spoken of here represents a religious life. But there's some questions along with this religious life. What would the legacy be of their religious life? What would their legacy be enduring, or would it be fleeting? Would it be positive? Would it be negative? Would it be pleasing to God, or would it be pleasing to self? Will they spend eternity with God, or will they spend eternity in hell? What is the legacy of the life they are now living? What are they doing as they listen to the Lord Jesus? Is it going in one ear and out the other, or is it taking up residence in their hearts? The reason this is so important is because their answer lies with a foundation on which their life is built. In other words, what is the quality of the foundation that their religious life is built upon? What is the quality of it? Is it rock solid, or is it like quicksand? They need to realize what they're dealing with. Now, when we think of quicksand, when we think of God and who He is, we think of God and His judgment. If they built on sand, can they withstand the righteous judgment of Almighty God? We're going to talk about that next week. Could they withstand His righteous judgment? Oftentimes, we want to compare ourselves with one another. That's not the way to go. You don't compare yourself with me. I don't compare myself with you. We don't do that. We look at Jesus. He's our example. He's the one that we're to look at and see how our lives are to be lived. Yes, we are to be an example to each other, but we need to keep our eyes on Christ. Well, now let's look at the first of these foundations, the big rock, the big boulder. The foundation determines the ability of the structure to withstand the elements, elements of the rain and the winds. May we clearly understand that the rock foundation can only refer to who? Jesus Christ. It can only refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do we know about this rock foundation of Jesus? Well, God's Word has a lot to tell us. I'm going to read some scriptures and others I'm going to have you look at with me, but let me read this one with you. Regarding this rock foundation of Jesus Christ, let me read for you Matthew 16, 18. Jesus is speaking. And I tell you that you are Peter. Peter from the Greek is masculine. It means a small stone, a fragment of a rock. And on this rock, Petra, feminine, a foundation boulder, that's Jesus. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. It was never intended that the church should be built on a man like Peter. Millions have been deceived. God would not have His church, which lasts for all eternity, to be built on that which is fallible. It has to be built on that which is infallible, which can make no mistake, where there's no error. Therefore, the rock is Jesus Christ. That's what the church is built on. Then the Apostle Peter, later on in his life, tells us this in 1 Peter 2:6. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." The Scripture this verse mentions is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 16. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Why? Because God keeps His word. He gives us forgiveness of sin. He brings us into a right relationship with Himself. He gives us the Holy Spirit, whereby we are empowered to live a life which honors Him. And then, of all blessings, He promises us a home in heaven. You looking forward to getting to heaven? Amen. Amen. But now to those who reject this rock foundation of Jesus Christ. Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:7. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. God's word again makes it very clear there's only one way to Him, and that's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the human race has a decision. They can build their lives on the rock, Jesus Christ, and have a right relationship with God, or they can build their life on the sand, religion, whatever they want to call it, be separated from God for now and for eternity. The choice is theirs. The choice is there. Let me read what I've written here. Their disobedience is seen in their unbelief of the truth. The call of the gospel is that we repent of our sin, that we turn from our sin to God, we place our faith in Christ. There is no other way. Aren't you glad? There is no other way, only through faith in Christ. Those who disbelieve are appointed to doom. They were appointed to doom because of their unbelief and disobedience. Judgment on unbelief is as divinely appointed as is salvation by faith. There's no middle ground. If you reject the rock, there's no second chance. If you embrace the rock, place your faith in Christ the rock, you belong to him. For how long? Forever. Aren't you glad? Can you remember when you disobeyed your parents when you were a child? I can. God, boy, that hand was up quick. I can remember. Boy, I was a naughty little boy. If my mom and dad were here, they'd say, amen. You know, when we do things that hurt people, it usually comes back to haunt us, does it not? Yes, it does. How awesome it is that even though we as believers in Christ do things that disappoints our Lord, now hear me, he never drops us. Aren't you glad? He never drops us. He never says, Roger, you did that one too many times. I'm through with you. You're on your own. Praise God, he didn't do that. Now, how do we know that? Take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I've got some awesome scriptures for us about building our lives on the rock. Wow. John 6, and we want to begin reading at verse 37. This is so encouraging. I trust it just blesses your heart. John 6, 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. I love this. And whoever comes to me, I will never what? Drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, in other words, who builds their life on the rock and believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Building our lives upon Christ the rock starts with us believing upon the Lord Jesus alone for the forgiveness of our sins. But then real faith in Christ will lead us to do some other things as well. First of all, it leads us to listen carefully to what he says so that we just don't listen, but we literally hear. It goes from here down to our hearts. This in turn will lead us to understand his words. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. When you and I invited Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit took up residence in our lives. He's the teacher. He teaches us who Jesus is. He teaches us what the Word of God says. This, in turn, will lead us to faithfully act on his words. And this is an encouragement to us to know that we no longer live the same kind of life. Why? Because we belong to Christ. We're listening to what he has to say. The Holy Spirit is making it real to us, and we don't want to do those things anymore, so we have committed our lives to him. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me from what I'm doing that is not good for me. Lord, I need you. What does he say? I'm here. I'm here. Matthew 7:24 told us, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, that's the hearing, that's the understanding, that's the acting, is like a man who built his house on the rock. I remember some years ago when I was ministering at the Volunteers of American Mission in Denver while I was going to seminary. I had a wonderful time. Being in Skid Row in Denver was very difficult. It was hard. I saw lots of men and women, very difficult lives, but I saw a lot of people change for Jesus. But I had one dear man one day as I went down there. I forget why I was down there during the day, and he saw me and he says, hey, preach! I'm doing everything you said, but I'm still here. And I just said, "Friend, have you left yet?" "Left? No." "Friend, if you've done everything I've said, invited Christ into your life, you don't belong here. You need to leave." Kind of shook his head. My heart went out to that dear man. He listened, but he hadn't really heard. Now, we hear a lot today about easy believism. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's my Savior. What's that done to your life? Nothing. I don't see any change. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't really want to change, but I do believe that. Let me ask you, if they don't want to change in their life, and they're not looking to the Lord to change them or to walk in His path, have they really heard what Jesus said to them? No. They'd not really heard. Turn to Mark 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark 8, 34 through 38. Again, the message that Jesus preached to the people of His day was hard. It wasn't easy. It called for accountability. It called for giving themselves to Him, to believe in Him. It called for being accountable to the words of Jesus. And in Mark 8, at verse 34, the Lord Jesus says this, "Then He called the crowd to Him, along with His disciples," meaning the 12, "and said, 'If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Me and for the gospel will save it.'" As I read that the other day, I wrote on the side of my page here, 24 men, Libya coast, 2015. The 21 men or 24 men who had their heads caught off because they wouldn't renounce Jesus. "Whoever loses his life for Me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His Father's glory with the holy angels." And so the Lord Jesus wasn't just saying so these people would listen. He said these things so that they would hear. But now back in Matthew 7, 25, and I'm bringing this to a close, the Lord Jesus said this, "The rain came down on the foundation of rock. The streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house," the person's life. "Yet it did not," what? "Fall." Why? "Because it had its foundation on the rock." In verses 24 through 28, the word house represents a religious life. Rain represents divine judgment. And only the house built on the right foundation, the foundation of Christ, can stand the scrutiny of the judgment of God. It's the only foundation that will stand. Why? These people have obeyed God's word. They've repented of their sin. They've invited Christ into their life, and they are trusting Him as they walk through life to lead them. And they want His word to have such residence in their lives that their lives are literally changed. I told you about the dear woman who came to Pastor Ogilvy, who was pastor of Hollywood First Presbyterian Church some years ago. And she says, "Pastor, I'm doing everything I can to bring my husband to Christ, but nothing is working." She says, "I write out scripture verses and I put it in his pocket. He does a lot of traveling, and I take scripture verses and I put it in his socks and his underwear." She was driving the man wild. Finally, he says, "My friend, have you tried loving your husband? have you tried doing things that would please him and bring joy to him? Are you really trying to love him with the love of the Lord?" She says, well, I've been trying, but I think I've been doing it in my own way. He says, relax. Love him with the love of Jesus. If it hasn't changed, you come back and see me in 3 weeks, and we'll go to plan B. 2 weeks went by, and the husband came to see him. He says, what did you tell my wife? And Pastor Ogilvie told him, I just told your wife to love you with the love of Jesus and to do things that she knew would minister to your need. And he says, well, it's worked. I want to know what she's got. I want it. Wow. How awesome is that? People who have obeyed the Lord, had built their life on him as their foundation, repenting of their sin, trusting him for his grace, they are those who are honoring the Lord. Well, now would you turn with me lastly to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Acts 4, 8 through 12. People wonder, is there really hope for me? Yes, there is. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. Notice, please. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you, what? Healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Read verse 12 with me, please. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You can say hallelujah if you'd like. Hallelujah. What an awesome thing. We don't have to guess if we're saved. If you've invited Christ into your heart as your Savior, you sincerely meant it, you did it according to the Word of God, your life is built on the rock. No other way. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you belong to him forever. Yes, to build on the rock means to be a hearing and responding disciple of Christ. Not a phony or a superficial one. It means practicing obedience to Jesus' teaching as we go on in our life of growing discipleship for Jesus Christ. This solid foundation, according to Luke chapter 7, is what enables us to withstand the storms of life. And every one of us here have been under great storms. Amen? We all have we not? Horrible storms. And they would beat us down. But praise God, because Jesus is real. Jesus is alive because Jesus is interceding for us today, and we're trusting in him. Those storms can't touch us. And when we think of that final day of judgment, we do not have to worry, well, we'll spend eternity, because the Word of God tells us if you have Christ, you have life. And if you have life in him, you're with the Father forever in heaven. I praise God that he has given us this new life in his Son, the rock, the foundation upon which our lives are built. How thankful we are tonight that God, our Heavenly Father, invites us to build our lives upon Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. This foundation will never fail. It cannot be overthrown or done away with. It cannot become obsolete. There's no new teaching out there that all of these leaders are wanting to bring to us. Well, that's old. You need this. No, we don't. We need the gospel that's in Jesus Christ. There isn't any other word. None. This is it. Jesus Christ will always be the only foundation on which a spiritual life may be built and which can stand the white-hot gaze of the Father's all-righteous judgment. Why? Because when the Father looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees us as being in Christ. When you and I sin, the Father's not looking at us. He's looking at us through Christ. And the Lord Jesus, as our heavenly lawyer, stands and in essence says, Father, they belong to me. Case closed. How awesome is that? Built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That rock cannot be moved. Well, we want to celebrate the Lord's table tonight. Celebrate what our Lord did for us so that we could have this faith in him and have a life with him in heaven.